longer be chayv for bishul again. However, we discussed yesterday the interesting mother who had the suffix about whether something that was cooked in the sun and then later was reheated on the flame, and whether or not in that situation we also apply the rule of ain bishul acha bishul, because there the first bishul was a bishul b'chama, which one is not chayv for on Shabbos. We discussed that one should probably be machmir in that situation for whatever reason we mentioned yesterday. That once something when something was initially cooked in the sun, or the modern equivalent of that, the microwave, as someone mentioned yesterday, fantastic Ha'ara, that the same should be true then with regards to the sous vide. We should be machmir according to Shlomo Zalman, that if something is cooked in a sous vide on Shabbos, that's perhaps the equivalent of Bishul B'chama or Toldos HaChama, that should not then be reheated on a traditional heat source that has a flame on Shabbos, even if it is, you know, quote unquote, fully cooked. That might be a problem of Ein Bishul, that might be a problem of Bishul B'Shabbos. And we would not apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul since the first Bishul occurred in the form of Bishul that was Bishul B'chama. Another application of that. We're going to continue with that discussion today, and perhaps discuss two, and the mitzvah tomorrow we'll get to a third, exception to the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Generally, once something is cooked, you can't be chayv for Bishul again. However, there are exceptions to that rule. One, perhaps, is if something was cooked the first time in the sun, then you want to heat it on the flame. But another, perhaps, example of that same idea, or an exception to that rule, for a different reason, is mentioned over here by the Beis Yosef, Shin Yuches Sivhei. The smile quotes in the name of the Yireim, Afa Pisha in Bishol Acha Bishol, you know, there's no Bishol Acha Bishol, Ki Destam Perachavis, Kol Shebo Bechamen, Perish Bechamen, Bechi Rishon, Dishbasu Kotzar. For once something is cooked fully, you can't be chayv for Bishol again, and be permitted, you know, assuming you did so in the permitted ways, in the proper ways, proper channels, be permitted to reheat the Shabbos morning. Mikol Makom Yesh Bishol Achar Afoy Bitzoli. If something was only baked, or was roasted, and then now you want to cook it, that will be a problem. Yesh bishol achar afia. You know, ein bishol achar bishol. There is bishol after something has been cooked. And he brings a proof to this position. The Gemara Masechtas Pesachim. I'm in Malchum ben Aleph. The Gemara tells us in connection with the Korban Pesach, where the pasuk says, "Alchem u'nenu na b'ashem l'hushal b'mayim." Pasuk in Parashas Bo. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach raw or cooked in water. A kiim sliyesh. It has to be roasted. So the Gemara comments, "Bishol v'achakach tzelo." Let's say you cooked it in water and then you roasted it. You roasted it and then you cooked it. So you're chayiv. For what? For cooking the carbon pesach. It's not going to be cooked. Bishlav says the Gemara, Bishlav achakach tzelo. I understand if you cooked it and then you roasted it, chayiv. You cooked it when it was raw. But let's say you roasted it and then you cooked it. Hatzli Yeshu. The first time it was cooked, it was roasted. So am I, why are you chayiv for cooking it after roasting? So Amar Rav Kahana, Hamani Rav Yosi. This is a machlokes HaTanaim, and this statement is following the opinion of Rav Yosi. The Snanya, Yosi, here we're discussing matzah. Yosi Meraka Kashoroi Umavusho Shalai Nimuach. According to the opinion of Rav Meir, a person can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah even though it's been soaked in water or even cooked, as long as it hasn't disintegrated. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Yosi Beroka Kashore, Veloy Vimavusho. You fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, it has to be baked. It can be dipped in a liquid, but not if it's cooked. Once it's cooked, you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Ula Omar, Ula said, no, this statement could even be following the opinion of Rameyer, a field of Rameyer, Shiny Hakat Amarka, Ubashel Mavusho Mikomakom. Anytime it's cooked, it's a problem with regard to the carbon pesach, it's different than matzah. And therefore, perhaps even Rav Meir would agree that if the carbon pesach is roasted and subsequently cooked, it will still be a problem. But what is the? How does the Gemara understand initially, at least, the machlokes HaTanaim between Rav Yosi and Rav Meir, is that they're arguing about whether or not the bishol that comes subsequent to the afia or after the afia is mavatel the afia. According to the opinion of Rav Meir, once it's baked, it's baked. So later on, I cook it. I cook the matzah. It doesn't matter. It was baked, and the baking remains. Retain the status as a baked item. Rabbi Yosi Omer, no. Once it's, even though it was initially baked, once it's cooked in water, the cooking overrides, it eclipses, and negates, supersedes the initial afia, and therefore it's no longer considered a baked item, it's considered a cooked item. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara understood why you can't cook a Korban Pesach even though it was initially roasted. Why? Because the cooking will override the initial roasting. And according to Rabbi Meir, that one can cook matzah and still fulfill the mitzvah matzah. The cooking does not override the initial baking. So too by Korban Pesach. Once it was roasted, even though it was subsequently cooked, the cooking won't override or negate or supersede, eclipse the initial roasting, and the Korban Pesach will be okay. And then the Gemara concludes, concedes, even according to Rabbi Meir, it could be a problem, you can't cook the Korban Pesach under any circumstances, even though it's not mevatel the initial tzelita. So moving back to the Urayim, back in Oisal, from the Beis Yosef, says the, this is again the Smag's interpretation of the Urayim. We're going to have to see there might be other ways of interpreting the opinion of the Urayim. But this is the way the Smag interprets the Urayim. The Kanalan Kerb Yosi, Dharma Yosef Pesach, Matzah Zrakut Shreva, Loibu Mavusha, Lachar Fiyah. We pass that Kerb Yosi, we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah with cooked Matzah. Why not? Shehabisho, Shehafakak, Mavadu HaFiyah. Because the subsequent cooking will negate, eclipse, supersede the initial baking. Hilkach, so therefore, says the Urayim, the same should be true on Shabbos. If you have a baked item, you can't subsequently cook it. Yes, ain't bishol achar bishol, but yesh bishol achar afiyah. Hilkach, why? Because the bishol will be mavatel, the initial afiyah. Hilkach, says the Urayim, yizayar adam shlo yiten pas afuyah, afil b'klisheni. You have to be careful not to put bread. This is going to be an extension, which is subject to a further dispute. But you can't even put bread even to a klisheni of soup. The Shabbos, the makom sheyatzah lettuce bar, as long as the soup is very hot. Gam mitzliz are adam. You also have to be careful if you have boiled chicken that you shouldn't put it next to the flame without any sauce, heavy sauce, or liquid medium, because then it will turn from cooking into roasting. Be afraid for such a thing. Okay, so that is the opinion of the Urayim, even though ain bishol achar bishol, there is bishol achar afiyah, and the way the Smag interpreted the opinion of the Urayim is because the bishol is mavato, the initial afiyah, just like you can't be yoytze matzah with cooked matzah. The cooking is mavato, overrides the initial baking. However, then the Beis Yosef continues, and he quotes him Rav Yah, who disagrees. Mila Rav Yah kasav, the lav milsi. This is not correct. So the parak hates the mavach, and he is a raya. Another ride from Gemara Brachis, just the opposite. The Gemara says in the Sefer this Brachis, quotes about Flegis, Amaroyim, with regards to the bracha on cooked vegetables. Darash of Nachum Yishum Rabbeinu, Umanu Shmuel, Shlokos, Mevarch, and Aleim Boi Pri Adoma. Cooked vegetables, make the bracha Boi Pri Adoma. Others disagree, Shlokos, Mevarch, and Aleim, Shahakon Yabidvari. The others disagree. We make a problem of Shahakon. Vani Omar, the Machlekes Shnuya, this depends on the Machlekes, the old Machlekes in Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Meir. The Sanya, Yoetz Miraka Kashari, Ube Mevusho, Shalai Nimua. You can fulfill the opinion of the mitzvah matzah with matzah that is cooked, as long as it hasn't disintegrated, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Yoetz Yama Yoetz Miraka Kashari, Balei Mevusho, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah matzah with baked matzah, with cooked matzah. Afakui, Shalai Nimua. The one depends on the other. Why? According to Rameyer, once it's cooked, it still retains its status as matzah. So too, once the vegetables are cooked, they should still retain their bracha bar pri adama. And according to Rabbi Yossi, is of the opinion that the cooked matzah no longer retains its status of matzah and can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So too, cooked vegetables no longer retain their initial bracha, and the bracha should be shahakol miyabed bar. But loyhi, says Gemara, no, one is not dependent on the other. The Kuli Alma Shlokas Mevarch and Aleim Bari Pri Adama. Everyone is of the opinion that cooked vegetables you make, Bari Pri Adama retains its bracha. It retains its status. If it retains its status, why can't I fulfill the mitzvah matzah with cooked matzah? It should retain its status of matzah as well, even though it's been cooked. The Ad Kamo Kamar Biesi Hasan Mishin the Bayinon Tam Matzah Veleka. The reason is because the flavor has been altered and changed, it no longer tastes like matzah. Here, even Rabbi Yossi would agree. So what's the reason, according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't fulfill the mitzvah matzah with cooked matzah? Is it because the cooking is mavato liafia? No. What's the reason? The reason is because it no longer tastes like matzah. And bo'inam tam matzah b'leka. If you look at Rabbi Yoyna explains that at that point it becomes matzah shira. That's like a rich man's bread. You know, like the same equivalent of matzah that was mixed not with water, but with the fruit juice or with eggs, that we don't generally consume that on Pesach. It's not, certainly not for the mitzvah matzah, maybe not at all, because we're afraid some water mixed in too. If you do the lechimot, for whatever reason, we don't eat matzah shira on Pesach. This would be the equivalent of matzah shira. Because the pasuk says with regards to the mitzvah of matzah, it has to be a poor man's bread, and cooked matzah is not a poor man's bread, that's matzah shira. Based, parenthetically, based on this comment of Rabbeinu Yoida, so the some have suggested you shouldn't eat cooked matzah at all at the night of the Seder. Because the Rambam is of the opinion, unique position, over here I gave it to you, parakei comment to matzah, in case you're not familiar with it. The Rambam's opinion is, around on the first night of Pesach. The Brisk Rav explains in a sefer on the Rambam that the opinion of the Rambam is not only can you not fulfill your mitzvah matzah with matzah shira, because the pasuk says lechem oini, it's not just the description of the appropriate matzah for the mitzvah matzah. You're not supposed to have matzah shira around at all the first night of the Seder. There shouldn't be, you know, present. It disrupts the whole ambiance and theme of the night. So there shouldn't be matzah shira around at all. Say for the Rambam says, we got marishon oser. You shouldn't have it around on the first night any matzah shira. So for that reason, Reb Chaim was machmir not to eat cooked matzah either the first night of the Seder. Not only should there not be matzah mixed with fruit juice around the first night of the Seder, or eggs, there shouldn't be matzah, we don't have it at all, the dafka the first night, according to the Rambam. But not only that, there shouldn't be cooked matzah around. Shouldn't have a matzah ball the first night of the Seder, or even for those who eat the brachs. Why not? Because according to Rabbeinu Yehuda, cooked matzah is also matzah shira. And that's why you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with cooked matzah. Comes matzah shira. Okay, so but eat on top matzah v'leka. This is a halacha to matzah. It's not lechem ayini. It's matzah shira, and that's why it can't be used after the mitzvah of matzah. Not because though the bisho, subsequent bisho is mavata the previous safir. Yeah. So look back at the Rav Yom, back at the Beis Yosef. So Rav Yom says, proofs in this Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Ketzim mevarchin, ma'aseh lo matzik da'ad kamo kamer Rav Yosef l'gabi matzah. The ba'inan tam matzah v'lecha. You need the flavor of the matzah, you don't have it. Rashi says, bishum avat lemi teres lechem. Rabbein Yonah said, because it makes it into matzah shiur. Harei, da'afilu b'matzah leska hu shabishul yavato afiyo. It's not that the bishul is mavato the afiyo, it's because you don't have the proper flavor of matzah. Okay? So that does not necessarily relate, we can derive from there, extrapolate from there, that bishul is mabatal and afiyah, and therefore, just like we say ein bishul akar bishul, we should say ein bishul akar afiyah. As we mentioned the first year, afiyah and bishul, you know, are both of his malachos, both included the isim midiraisa of bishul on Shabbos. Even though afiyah didn't take place in the Mishkan, bishul did. It doesn't matter. They're both of his malachos, equivalent of each other, and therefore, just like ein bishul akar afiyah. That's the opinion of the rabbi. And to be honest, the Rav Yom argument is appealing, just like ein bishul achar bishul, ein bishul achar afiyah, and you're chayav for afiyah on Shabbos, you did it initially, why shouldn't we say ein bishul achar afiyah? The opinion of the Urayim is the one that requires a little bit more explanation. And how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So look in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Ches Sif Hei, give it to you over here, or you say, Shulchan Aruch is machmer, like the Urayim. Yesh mi shoymer. The davar shenefa o nitzla and bishul akakach b'mashke yesh b'mishum bishul. Something which is baked or roasted, if you later cook it in liquid, there will be a problem of bishul. V'asa li teipas afila b'klisheni sheyashul ezlo. We're going to discuss, revisit this sif in Shulchan Aruch. We discuss klisheni. Not only can you not put in a bishul, the first utensil where the liquid came into after it was on the flame, or the utensil that was on the flame, but even if it's a second utensil that was not on the flame, klisheni, also have to be concerned with bishul on such a utensil. The yesh matirin, there are those that allowed it. So the Ramah tells you there's really three opinions. We started out with two, typical Jewish matzah. We started out with two opinions, we ended up with three. But the yesh matirin, the klisheni, there are those who didn't allow it in a klishen, but they argued on the klisheni part of the chumrah. Be machmer a kli rishon, the kli that was on the flame, not the kli that wasn't on the flame. Yesh ma'akil nafim be kli rishon. Then he quotes the Rav Yoh. There were those who were lenient even a kli rishon. Ain bishul achar bishul, bishul achar afiyah. V'nagu lizah l'chakila shelo yitein pas afilu b'klisheni kol v'nan sheyatzev ezra. That's the meaning, is that we're machmer like yireim, even in a klisheni, that part of the chumra, that we don't place baked items into a hot liquid, even if it's a klisheni. That's the initial problem with croutons. Croutons, you know, pieces of bread that are chopped up, of course, baked. Now you want to put it into your soup, geschmack. Can you do that? So that's probably depends on this shaila. We have to discuss if your soup is a cliche, maybe shlishi. We'll get into all of that. But
aren't some croutons fried?
So the yellow croutons, the osem croutons, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is they're deep fried. All that that entails. But the good news is, since they're deep fried, good news and bad news. They're less healthy than typical croutons, traditional croutons, but they do have that benefit that you can do. Yellow croutons we're not discussing. We're discussing if you're talking about old time chopped bread croutons. That should be this shiloh. Yeah. So, but how do we understand the chumrah of the Yireim? We understand the Rabbi Yehuda. Why should the Yireim be machmer that yesh bishulach harafiyah? Even though ain't bishulach harafiyah. So one possibility, as we already explained, was the opinion and the perspective of the Smag. The Smag suggested that it was because the bishul is mavatel the first harafiyah. So it kind of, you know, returns to the gate. When, yes, it's been baked, but it hasn't been cooked. And then cooking negates or supersedes, eclipses the initial baking. That was one possibility. So it's not like ain bishul achar bishul, it's like cooking it for the first time. However, the Taz has a different understanding of this. Again, that was the Smag's interpretation of the Yireim, not the Yireim's explanation himself. Huh?
What's like the formulation for that to happen? How would it be mevatel the cooking? Like what's the mechanism for that to happen?
We're going to explain a little bit better, perhaps without giving away too much, is because one is a deeper form of cooking than the other. Baking, cooking, is more transformative or more significant than baking, perhaps. So therefore, since the cooking changes the item perhaps even more than baking. So, yes, it's been baked. Cooking is, it's a whole different discussion.
So it's just a more advanced form of cooking.
Correct. I don't think it's because one was in the Mishkan and one wasn't. It's because the bishul, the fact that it was baked really doesn't matter anymore.
Well, if it's baked already to the point that it's Machal Ben Drusa.
Or maybe it's not even recognizable that it was baked, it's whatever. But I don't want to blur the lines too much.
If it's an advanced form of cooking, then it would just be past Machal Ben Drusa. It wouldn't be a problem.
Right. So I don't want to phrase it that way. Then we're getting close to the Taz already. That's why your question is a little bit premature. Let me flesh it out, and then we'll get to your point. So the Taz over here, in the third line over here, of Oisei, Taz writes in Kuttenbach, he disagrees with the presentation of the Smag. He argues for a different reason. It's not because one is doing to the other. The chinami tevim yishum the tam matzah be'inam. Let's look at that Gemara Brachos. The Gemara said in Maseches Brachos, the Raya of the Rav Yoh, which is really a kasha in the Yireim. The Gemara says why cooked matzah is no good. It's not a problem because the bishul is mavatel the afiyah of the matzah. It's because be'inam tam matzah, but like the matzah has to have a certain flavor, and it doesn't have that flavor. Rabbi Yoh told us this matzah shira, but it sounds like it's something that's focused on the flavor of the matzah. So the Taz claims that really is not a raya against the Rav Yoh is a raya against the Yireim, that this is a local halacha to matzah. The Yireim would probably argue that this halacha is not limited to matzah, but applies to Shabbos too. There are other halachas that depend on flavor. And if you introduce a new flavor, that's not only a problem in terms of the mitzvah matzah, that might justify why it's a problem in Hilchos Shabbos as well. Yes, it's been baked. Baking has one flavor. Now you've introduced a whole new dimension to this item. So it's like something that was partially cooked and now becomes fully cooked. So the Taz writes over here, "Kamei Yishav Shlomo Hani Haydechi Dechinai Nami Teimim Yishum the Tamatza Beinan." Even if we accept the Gemara Maseches Brachos, not assume that it's arguing on the Gemara Maseches Pesachim or something. Hakinami Azlinam Boser Tam Hatavshio Vekevich and Ishtana Hatamai Deyabishol Aminim Deniskavin Lazeh B'Shabbos. We'll say he had this in mind on Shabbos. In my mind. Going as well, this is related to the opinion of the Rambam. According to the Rambam, we can understand the Taz, speaking out of the opinion of the Rambam, the Rambam's opinion is if something is cooked, Michael Ben Rousseau, partially cooked, either a third cooked, a half cooked, and then I later fully cook it, according to the Rambam, we discussed yesterday, you're chayav for bishul. Because you know, bishul is defined as making things edible, here was partially edible, you made it fully edible. So within the Rambam, we can understand the Taz very well. You had something that was, you know, edible, even fully edible, but only as a baked item. Now, when I cook it, it's edible in a different way than it was before. That's like taking something, not cooking it more, or more schmaltzy, even beyond, you know, there's a, you know, a threshold where it's fully cooked, and I took it beyond that. No, that's, perhaps you're not high for that on Shabbos. But here, you introduced a whole new perspective, dimension for this item. Before it was baked, now it's cooked. That's like taking something from Michael Ben Jerusalem and making it fully cooked. So according to the Taz, that's the reason that the Yireim was machmer for Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah. Yesh and Bishol Achar Bishol, because that doesn't introduce a new dimension, just more of the same. Here, introducing a whole different perspective. However, the presentation of the smach perhaps might resonate with the Rashba. According to the Rashba, the definition of Bishol is taking something from being halachically raw, halachically cooked, and do with making it edible. So then we'd be, so why would the Yireim ever be machmer for Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah? Once it's cooked, it's cooked. It's no longer raw. So according to the Rashba, we can now understand perhaps why the smog was back into a corner and he was forced to say that the reason why the Yireim was machmer is because the Bishol is Melvatel, the first Afiyah. And it takes it all the way back to square one, and it's like we're dealing, at least vis-a-vis Bishol, with a raw item that has now become cooked for the first time. And that's why it's not. So perhaps these two perspectives really reflect the two understandings of the Rashi and the Rambam, how to define Bishul on Shabbos. But either way, what we're left with is two possible ways of understanding the Yireim, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Kumar of the Yireim. That even though in Bishul Achar Bishul, there is Bishul Achar Afiyah. It could either be because, and that's why the Smag presented it, might be working off a similar understanding of the Rashba, that it's because the Bishul is Mavadal in Bishul Afiyah, or it could be because, and this perhaps we work with the Rambam, because the Bishul introduces a new dimension of edibility, if we can say such a word, to the item. And since it introduces a new flavor, a whole new dimension to the item, now we understand why you're chayav for it on Shabbos. It wouldn't say akar bishol with regards to bishol akar afiyah. Here's a whole new dimension. Yeah. So again, either it's because it's mavata the initial afiyah, or because it introduces a new dimension to the item. It's a new flavor. One difference, what difference does it make, how we understand it? Either way, we're machmer like the Yireim, the Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah. So it might make two important differences. One difference might be with regards to, we discussed Bishol Achar Afiyah, what about the reverse? What about Tzli Achar Bishol? Let's say Bishol was the initial stage of cooking, and now I roast it. So Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah, what about Yesh Tzli Achar Bishol? Should we say such a thing? Should we go in that direction as well? So look at the Shulchan Giborim, and we give it to your Ezvah, quotes in the name of the Yireim, the Skorva, Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyah. Then he tells you you shouldn't put your croutons in your soup, bread in the soup. And then he writes to him in the third line, Mechaim Avushol, Lo Yiten Eitzel Ha'esh V'machom De'yatzel. That is both the Yesh Tzliya Achar Bishol Gamkein. This goes in the reverse as well. There's roasting after cooking. The Shulchan Giborim disagrees. Bedati nirad the sphere the lekat tzliya achar bishul. I mean, the loy hizker din zek klal. The tour never brings this. The smag never brings this. It's only bishul achar afiyah. It's not tzliya achar bishul. Bechay nirad the sphere the lekat afiyah achar tzliya v'loy tzliya achar afiyah. It's only bishul achar afiyah. It doesn't go in other directions. How do we paskin? So you look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins. Like the initial position that's mentioned by the Shulchan Giborim. But who I did look back at always, hey, Mr. Bruce had come back, who I didn't go zu yesh tzli achar bishol. There is tzli achar bishol. V'lochein, also li ten davar shen esbasho eitzo ha'esh b'li roitev. You can't take something that was cooked and put it, you know, roasting against the fire. Even though in bishol achar bishol, there is tzli achar bishul, just like there's bishul achar afiyah, that's Yireim, there's tzli achar bishul as well. What should this, you know, what is this machlekes of Yishayim hinge upon? So perhaps it hinges upon these two perspectives, as Ulug once suggested. And it depends on these two understandings of the Yireim. Because according to the presentation of the smag, the reason why yesh bishul afrafia is because the bishul is mavatal the initial afrafia. So if that's the case, one could argue that that's only bishul afrafia, but it wouldn't apply to tzli afar bishul, to roasting after cooking, because cooking, as we alluded to already before, is the most significant form of cooking an item. Cooking it in water is the most significant form. Look at the Gemara says in Masechta Schulin, Perek Gid Anoshe, Behir Tzadivam and Mebeis, Yerushin and Zvashe, Bo Gid Anoshe, you have a leg, the behind part of the animal, and you didn't remove the Gid Anoshe, and you cook the whole leg together. So Yesh Bo Benoisin Tam Hareza Asura. If the Gid Anoshe is there, and they can, give off a flavor, the whole item is Asa. Amar Shmuel Oshanu Oshin Zvashabo. That's only if they were cooked together in water. Aval Nitzlebo. Let's say you have Macholas Asurois, so they get Anashe cooked together with kosher meat. All on one spit, roasting over a fire. So then, Koylech Ba'oichel Achimagia Legid. This is known as Kedei Netila. You remove the Macholas Asurois and all the surrounding meat that's touched it, but not the rest of the meat on the spit. That never became prohibited. If you would cook it all together in water, it would all become prohibited. You roast it together, only what's directly next to the meat, the ma'akolas asuras, becomes prohibited. So perhaps you see from here, bishul is the most significant form of cooking. Cooking in water is the most significant form of cooking. Even more so than roasting. So perhaps, according to the smag, that the only reason why the rain was ma'akol, the yesh bishul ha'afir, it came from bread in the hot water, even though the bread was already baked, is because the cooking overrides and supersedes the initial baking. That might be true by cooking. Cooking is the most significant, cooking water is the most significant form of cooking. So it's mavatal and afia. Sli, roasting, is inferior to bishul. As we just saw from the Gemara Chulin, that can't override initial cooking. So if you have boiled chicken, you can later roast it on top of a barbecue. It can later be barbecued. Wouldn't be a problem of not the mice up, but you wouldn't violate the malacha of bishul. However, if you understood the Taz, that the reason why the rain was mach with the yesh bishul afrafia is not because the bishul is mavatal the original afrafia. It's because it introduces a new flavor. Like the Rambam, it's incremental in terms of making it more edible. It was minimally edible, now it's fully edible. According to the Rambam, you mach the bishul there. So it's over here. You had something that was fully edible as a baked item, but now I introduce a whole new dimension. Now it's edible as a cooked item. You'd be chai for bishul. Since you introduced, you made it more edible, so then if that's the case, so if you take an item that was edible as a cooked item, and now I roasted it, that introduces a whole new perspective on the item. It's no longer boiled chicken, it's barbecue chicken. More people probably eat barbecue chicken than boiled chicken. So then you made it more edible, more enticing. So then you could be chayv even for tzli achavisho. It has nothing to do with the fact that tzli is an inferior form of cooking than cooking in water. And perhaps that justifies the psak of the Mishnah Berurah that yesh tzli achar bishul. Not because bishul achavisho has nothing to do with the bishul mubim. Vavli achavisho introduces a whole new flavor, and so too tzli achavisho introduces a whole new flavor. Because that's how we're going to understand that seems to be the justification for this chumrah of tzli achavisho. There's going to be a limitation to it. That is only where it introduces a new flavor. For example, look over here. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yud Ches Siv Tezvav, Davar shenizbasho kol tzarkoi v'hu yave shein bomar, something which is cooked in water. No, I'm sorry. Something that was cooked in water, and now there's no liquid. You can place it next to the flame. Not on the flame, but next to the flame. That's permitted. So why should that be permitted? What are you doing? You're placing a cooked item without the liquid medium. What do we call that? Roasting. You're putting it next to the flame on Shabbos. How is that allowed? So true, it's not on the flame. It's next to the flame. So that's why, explain why that makes a big difference with regards to returning items on Shabbos. But why don't you violate bishul? Forget about returning items, which is Issa de Rabbanan, which we're going to spend a lot of time on, but you're violating Malach Bei Reis of Bishul. So Bei Allah already has Tzarkin. Halayel Basif, hey, maybe Das Aram, that's the Yireim, Vayashu Mimagin Aram, they would die to Hua did Yesh Tzli, Akar Bishul. There is roasting after cooking. Ve'ech mother, how come it's done? How can the Shulchan Aruch allow this? You're roasting after cooking. So Chazanish explains, Ve'akachak tzarech loymah, that is because here, you didn't introduce a new flavor. What's the whole reason we're machmer for tzliach ha-pishol? It's not because, it can't be that the tzli is mavato, the initial pishol, like the way the smag understood the right? Because tzli is inferior to pishol. The only reason to be machmer is according to the understanding of the taz, which is because tzli introduces a new flavor to the pishol. So b'tzarech loymah, the kol yovel, the tam tzli mamish. Anything that doesn't taste like barbecue chicken, no one's going to say, if you take boiled chicken and put it on top of a blech on Shabbos, or a non-adjustable hot plate on top of your crock pot, however we're going to arrive at some way of heating food Shabbos morning, that you could later serve it as barbecue chicken. If you serve that as barbecue chicken, that would be, Grevas Das. It's not barbecue chicken. But we all know what barbecue, even if you slap barbecue sauce on it, it doesn't matter. It's not barbecue. We know what barbecue chicken is. The kosh lo yovel the tam tzli mavish, el shi yisyavish k'zas, it gets more dried out, but it's not barbecue chicken. Eva zabisho akabisho, ve'efshu the tzli, okay, that's not the problem, even according to the Urim. Why? Because the only reason he makmer for tzli akabisho is because it introduces a new flavor. Here it doesn't introduce a new flavor. But in theory, we are makmer for tzli akabisho. So for that reason, or tzli, by that, that's the same matter, tzli akarafiyah. So, but as long as it introduces a new flavor. So for that reason, Aruch HaShabbos writes, in Perek Beis, Har Salmo, that one is not allowed to make toast for Shabbos, even if you manage to avoid the Issur of returning and putting for the first time on top of a flame. Even if you're allowed to come in contact in permitted form with the flame, be a problem of Tzli Achar Afiyah, we are Machmir. You can't put the bread in the soup. Also, so if you can't make toast on Shabbos. However, working off the same argument as the Chazanish, I would suggest that that only applies where you, created a new flavor in the item. You know, toast tastes very different than bread. But if you have, I think it's more than just crunchy bread. If we were trying to describe toast to an alien, we might describe it as crunchy bread, but I don't know if, I think it's a whole different item than bread. However, there are those who like to take their challah on Shabbos morning and put it on top of whatever utensil they're going to use to reheat their food Shabbos morning. And they put their challah wrapped in tin foil as well. We don't have to discuss it. But we're going to say without the whole tin foil, and put it next to the flame on Shabbos in a permitted fashion. So there's no izur achazar, and it's in mechadash, putting for the first time. But what you do have, do you have a problem with making toast on Shabbos? There is tzli acharafia. So I would argue that there's a difference between crunchy challah and toast. Warm challah has its own, it's challah, but warm challah. Or, even if the outside gets crunchier or harder, a crunchy crust, I don't think that that makes the challah into toast. Toast is a whole different. So even if you can't make toast on Shabbos, that's a new flavor. I don't think putting the challah next to the crock pot makes it into a different item. It's probably just more of the same. It wouldn't be an issue here. Yeah.
So between fiancely, if you go and start up a hierarchy of cooking, there's no distinction or discrimination.
Right, because according to the Taz, the reason why the Rambam's Machmer for Bishul Acharafiyah has nothing to do with the fact that there's a hierarchy of cooking. It's because you introduced a new flavor.
Right, if we go with that, Svara, that there is like a...
And even if you think the other way, because there is a hierarchy, Tzli is inferior to Afiyah and Bishol. Tzli is the lowest on the totem pole. It's just Kedei Netilah. You remove the Machalas Asuras and we're surrounding area and you're good. So there's, Bishol, Afiyah, then Tzli. Tzli is all the way bottom of the totem pole.
And do we have a way to demarcate once you pass over from Tzli to Afiyah? Just what would constitute?
Afiyah is only by grade.
Only grade.
Yeah. Afiyah, I'm sorry if I didn't explain that. I know we have limited access to the exposure to the kitchen, but baking is limited to bread. Any other item, if it's in liquid, that's called cooking. If there's no liquid, that's called roasting. Baking is only vegetable. Yeah. So one exception to the rule of ain bishul achar bishul is that there is, when we pass it like the Urim, there is bishul achar afiyah. We even discuss tzli achar afiyah. One other exception to the rule of ain bishul achar bishul is with regards to stirring the pot, perhaps. The Gemara said that he ever said the Shabbos and after Chesam Beis, he flip the page. Lo yamal le'nachtum chavish shomayim ve'eniach v'toich hatanor erev Shabbos im hashecha. One is not allowed to take uncooked food or cold water and put it on an open flame going into Shabbos, the Issur of Shehiyah, which we're going to spend the whole Shehiyah discussing. Why? Because even though you put it up Erev Shabbos, you're not doing anything on Shabbos, we're afraid you might come to stoke the coals to heat it faster so we make it feel Friday night. Ehafi, if so, Mugma Begafras Nami Lingzer, let us be geyser on spices and spices and perfumes, that if you put it up Erev Shabbos, which the Mishnah there said, Masechta the Shabbos says explicitly is permitted, why are we afraid? You're going to stoke the coals? Shemar says, Hasim lo machti lohu. Then you're not going to stoke the coals. The imachti, salik buhu kutra. Because if you do stoke the coals, you're going to introduce smoke, there'll be more smoke, but kashi lohu, that will be bad for the spices and the perfumes. Okay. Oyin shol pishtan, the Mishnah also says one is allowed to leave flax soaking on Erev Shabbos, and hot water. That's allowed. Hasam, so don't be afraid. You're going to stoke the coals, make it cook faster. Hasam came in the kasha the huzeika loy megalalei. No, that's different because you don't want air, and you're going to lift up the pot to check how fast it's cooking, and you're going to close the pot, the air is going to get in, and that's going to disrupt the whole cooking process. You're only going to stoke the coals if you can look inside and see how fast it's cooking. You're not going to do that. So we're not afraid. You're going to open up, see it's not cooking fast enough, and then stoke the coals. Okay. Semele yaira. So what about wool soaking in dye? Often things are they're going to stoke the coals. And the Mishnah says the Shabbos, that's allowed. Amar Shmuel b'yayir akura. It's off the flame. You're only allowed to soak wool in a pot that's off the flame. Even if it's off the flame, forget about stoking the coals. Let's be afraid you're going to stir the pot to make the dye get spread around in the wool even faster. Ba'akura b'tucha. No, it's off the flame and it's sealed. You can't see how fast it's spreading around. You certainly can't stir. So, but what should we be afraid of then when you have a pot of food on top of a flame on Shabbos? We have to be afraid of that. If it's uncooked, you might stoke the coals to make it ready for the meal Friday night. But another concern could, in theory, be if you stir the pot. If you stir the pot, so Rashi writes with them, the Shabbos, you're being Mimahar the Bishol, you're making it cook faster. So, just like that was a concern with regards to the wolf soaking in the dye. If you stir the pot on Shabbos, there would be a problem of bishul on Shabbos, you're hastening the cooking process. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shin Yuches, Siv Yuches, HaKedera Shavira Meroyslim, HaGavilor, even if you took it off the fire, certainly if it's on the fire, in light of Vashur called Tzarka, if it hasn't been fully cooked, Ein Matziyim B'kaf Mehem Shamatzi Nimtza Magas, you can't even serve from the pot if it's not fully cooked, not only stirring the pot, but we hear the Shulchan Aruch is Machmer, even serving from the pot, because it will turn out that you're stirring the pot and you're being mamahir the bishul. V'ikam mishum bevashel. What the Shulchan Aruch says, in this vashel called sargoy, if it's fully cooked, what are you concerned about? Ein bishul, achar bishul, and that's mutter. So to serve from the pot, even to stir the pot, once it's fully cooked, there's nothing to be concerned about. If it's not fully cooked, so stirring the pot will be a problem because you're mamahir the bishul. This comes up, even if you're not going to stir the pot, sometimes people leave things cooking on a covered flame on Friday going into Shabbos, which is permitted. We're going to discuss if there's a blech that allows it to leave even partially cooked food or uncooked food going into Shabbos. But if you lift up the pot to see how fast it's cooking on the cover, the lid, and then you put it back down, you just cooked on Shabbos. Why? Because when you lifted it up, it's going to cook slower. And now when you put it back down, it's going to cook faster. And even though the lid was there initially, it doesn't matter. Once you picked it up, you removed it, now it's going to cook slower, the status quo, you put it back, you hasten the cooking. So, you have uncooked chicken in an oven, you open the door. When it's not fully cooked, close the door. Now you just violated Mishul, because it's going to cook faster. So it's always a problem. If you leave uncooked food on the blech going into Shabbos, you have to make sure not to lift up the lid to check on how it's doing. Because if you do that, until it's fully cooked, at least can be served as fully cooked food, you have a problem with Mishul on Shabbos, if you put the lid back. Okay, but once it's fully cooked, let's say it's fully cooked, ein bishul, achar bishul. But then the Rama writes, ulechatchila yesh lizayir af bekedera b'chol inyan. We have to be machmir on our pot in all circumstances. What is all circumstances? So look down at the Mishnah Berurah, two lines from the bottom. Beis Yosef kasev b'shem hakolboy, dikashi ala eish chay b'hagasa afilu b'mavusho kol tzarkoy. When it's on the flame, you can't stir the pot Even if it's fully cooked. Even if it's fully cooked, you can't stir the pot. So rise to shower at sea and below Eda Hatam. I don't know why. The Maya Difa Hagasami Bisho Mamish. Ain't Bisho, Lacha Bisho, because both came out in the Bach of Kotzaka. Ain't Bobby Shum Bisho. Even the Rambam agrees. He doesn't concede when it's Bach of Bad Rusan. Once it's fully cooked, there's no more Bisho. What's the problem over here then? Of stirring the pot. Once it's fully cooked, why should that be a concern? But the Rambam's Machma for the Kobo. And therefore, not only stirring the pot, even serving will be a problem according to the Kobo, because that could lead to stirring. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes, "When it's about the first line of the Mishnah Berurah, back the top of Vayis Yudalef, when it's about the Kol Tzarka, a few Omer Agav Yehor Mutal Ahitzi Bekaf Kei Mash Bis Yosef." The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is, once it's fully cooked, you can serve from the flame, you can stir it, no problem. About the Elyon Rabba, Masik the Yesh Lasser Bazer, you can't serve from the serve from the pot, even if it's fully cooked. The Kain Harchiach Mikobo. That's what he proved from the Kobo. If that's the case, you can't even serve from the pot. How do you serve food on Shabbos? So look down, even if it's fully cooked, again, Rabbi Yisrael, you can't stir the pot if it's not fully cooked, you're hastening the bishul. You can never hasten the bishul. Same thing with putting a lid back on top of a pot of food that's not fully cooked. But once it's fully cooked, Shulchan Aruch said, hey, bishul, acha bishul, you can stir the pot, put the lid back on top of the pot, no problem. The Kobo is machmir, you can't stir the pot even if it's fully cooked. Mishnah Berurah says, I don't know why, but that's the chumrah of the Kobo, and the Ramah quotes it. And that one not only applies to stirring the pot, it applies to serving food. Because when you serve, you sort of stir. How do you serve food on Shabbos then? So look at the four, Mr. Brewer, four lines from the bottom. Pour the food out from the pot. Below Yotzi Bakaf. No spoon. Oh. Hard way to serve soup. V'ayim Bach Reinim. We really paskin, come on. Ain't bishul acha bishul. This is a chumrah. It could be machmer like the Kobo, but we don't even understand it, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. It's really probably wanted to stir. We're going to be machmer not to do it. But right to the hachmer, yachmer v'agosa mamish. Stirring, okay. Abba v'haiti v'kafein v'hachmer klau v'nishbat v'kob tzarko v'ein v'alayim. Look again, two things. It's not on the fire, and you're just serving. Stirring sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah never allowed, even if it's fully cooked. Let's see about that in a second. Okay, but stirring, or even serving from the flame, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is not okay. How should you go about serving food on Shabbos? You have to take it off the flame and then serve. That far, we're not machmer for the Kobo. Maybe the Kobo would have been machmer that far, but we don't accept the Kobo that far. We treat the Kobo as a chumrah. Since, parenthetically, we treat the Kobo as a chumrah, we're only machmer for this if it's possible. Let's say, where's a Kobo they used to have this? If you're ever in the kitchen, it's a huge totem pot. I mean, it's as big as this table. So you can't serve the you can't pick the pot off when it's full, off the flame, and then serve it. It's just too heavy. I mean, it's gigantic. So you have to. So they serve from on top of the flame. That's true. Anytime you deal with such a big pot, you can't take it off the flame before serving it. If it's full, it's just too heavy. You need like four people. Probably someone get burned. You know. So you have to do a kashrut. So you have to serve. Okay. So the kobo, we don't serve. They put it from the flame. Not for the kobo. What else are you going to do? Or we're going to get discussed. What about returning if you're having with a typical traditional crock pot, which is an insert, not the West Bend, which sits on top of like a hot tray. A traditional crock pot, which is an insert, we're going to discuss. Once you take it and show it out, you might not be able to put it back, even if you have a blast. All right, let's explain why. So if you want, let's say you're done for chillin' Friday night, and you want to be machmer for the kobo, you're going to take the food off the flame in order to serve yourself some chillin'. But if you take it off, you won't be able to put it back. So maybe under that circumstance where the chum is an insert also, even in your own private kitchen, that might be preferable to be on the chumra v'kobo rather than violate the isav hachazara according to the Shulchan Aruch, putting something, an insert back. Okay, so there might be circumstances when we could, when it's not possible, we're not going to be machmir for the kobo, but we are machmir for the kobo when serving food, it should be done off the flame, and Mishnah Berurah is in the machmir against stirring even off the flame. But why? Why is the kobo machmir? Yeah.
There's a question about I'm talking this context. The Mishabura Lakshman is Varuza Lahakmar Yakmir. Are you saying that, you know, Minig Isra was a Kensing Lakmar for this kind of thing? Okay.
Undoubtedly. Why? Because the Mishabura, the Ramasa was actually there before. But why? So Shvisa Shabbos brings up two possible explanations for the Chumra of the Kobo. The Efshalemer B'doichak, Ledasa Kobo, again, we're forced into a corner over here. Sha'apo Pisha Gran is Bashu Derech Lahagis. Bahen ba'oidan ala ish. Kadesh lo yisrafaku v'yisdavku v'doifne akadera. The reason is because it is the way of people who are cooking to constantly stir the pot. Maybe one of the things, you know, in your minimal exposure, at least in the kitchen, you've done is made, you know, pasta. Make that assertion, or even some sort of sauce for something. Pasta with sauce. And as you know, it has to be stirred. If you don't stir the pasta, all comes together. You gotta stir the pot. So since it is the way of those who perform bishul to stir the pot, even though it's fully cooked, there's still an element of bishul with regards to stirring the pot, because every item that's cooked in a plate needs to be stirred intermittently. And Rambam writes in Perek Tesef of Shabbos Halacha Dalet, and again Halacha Yud Aleph, that Koha Oisei Davar Mitzarchei HaBishul HaReis Mabashul. Anybody who does something that aids in the cooking process, whether it's putting a pot there, putting a fire there, putting the wood there, lighting a fire, anybody who does anything involved in the cooking process is chayav for Bishul, even if you're an accessory to the Melacha. What's included in being an accessory to Bishul? So the Rambam writes, that just like squeezing a garment is part of laundering, you violate Malabin if you squeeze a garment, Shasidu Mitzarchei HaKibush, just like stirring a pot is an accessory to bishul, squeezing garments is an accessory to laundering. So stirring the pot, you're an accessory to bishul. So if you ever stir the pot in the kitchen, you can tell your wife, see, I cooked till you stirred the pot. Okay. If you did a job, it's Yudim Echayim. Okay. So perhaps that's where the kobo is coming from. Even though it's fully cooked, from Salvechik has a similar explanation. It's quoted in the Misora Journal in Volume 7. Same, it's already found over here in the Shvisa Shabbos, and that is because Mitzarchei HaBishul. So therefore, the kobo perhaps feels, even though it's fully cooked, you can still violate it, Bishul, since even fully cooked items need to continue to be stirred. So that's Mitzarchei HaBishul, and that's where the kobo would be machmer. But that would be limited then to stirring, not necessarily to serving from the pot. That would be stirring, and we could argue if that's the reason, it should be limited to stirring on the flame. There's no point in stirring food once it's off the flame. Once it's off the flame, there's no longer Mitzarchei HaBishul. Mitzarchei HaBishul is when it's on the flame. You need to continually stir it, otherwise either it burns or you want it to spread out equally or whatever. But once it's off the flame and you know you want to stir it, that shouldn't apply according to this reason. But then the Shvisa Shabbos quotes another reason. The Magis Chomer Tfei Mishum V'yesh Minei Grisim V'Kmokim Shaydei Histav Kusom Yachad Emes Bashom Yofen. There are always parts of a cholent, if you know you haven't made cholent, sometimes there's these pockets of the cholent that never get cooked. Happens sometimes. So we're afraid when you stir it, you're going to expose part of the cholent or part of the dish that was never cooked to now, you know, to be cooked for the first time. That's the problem with stirring. Ramesha, Negros Mesha, Elikdal, Tzmanayindal, Eischess, subscribes to this reason. There's a quote that says Shabbos, but he says this on his own. That it's because we're afraid you're going to cook parts that haven't been cooked before. If that's the reason, though, so then it would apply even if it's off the flame. And even if, you want to stir it off the flame, we should also be afraid. If you're dealing with a hot item, you might cook things for the first time. And perhaps that's where the Mishnah Brewer is coming from, when he's mafmer with regards to stirring even off the flame. However, if that's the case, then perhaps one could have argued that we should be mafmer closing the lid on a pot. Let's say you have a pot, and part of it is uncooked. So I'm sorry, even if the food is fully cooked, let's say my chon is fully cooked, and I lift up the pot, you know, to cover the pot, and I put it back. Or I take the pot off to serve, and I put it back, which is permitted. You did some in a permitted fashion. Why are we afraid that there's part of it wasn't cooked and might now become cooked? So you'll say, well, no, if it didn't get cooked the first time, it's not going to get cooked the second time unless you stir it. You could have said that. Perhaps one could argue, we really don't accept this reason for the Chumra of the Kobo. We accept the reason because it's Mitzarchei HaBishul. A If it's mitzarchi abishol, so then once it's fully cooked, you know, you could, it's not mitzarchi abishol to put the lid on top of the pot, it's only to stir the pot when it's on the flame. So in which case, according to that opinion, and I think many people do this, they would stir food once it's off the flame. You know, Mishnah Berurah says not to do it. I think according to the first reason, mentioned by the Shri Shashav, it says because it's the derech, the stir foods when they're on the flame, so you're an accessory to bishul. So then once it's off the flame, we'll be allowed to stir the food. Even if we accept the chumrah, you know, of the kabel fully, but only apply when it's on the flame. Because the other minor reason is hard to accept. If we're really afraid that there's parts of the food that haven't been cooked, so that even serving, even when it's off the flame, what about this part of it that might have been cooked? They're not even cooked, so even serving off the flame is going to be difficult. Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara and Shabbos that we said before about Pishtam that you remove the problem is removing the cover?
So what?
So meaning that's part of the cooking that changes the cooking process to some.
No, that was you want to check on it, so you're going to pick up the cover. It doesn't mean that you have to periodically pick up the lid and put down the lid. You don't need to do that in order for things to
never cooked flax, I gotta say.
No, no, but I'm saying anytime you're cooking, you don't need to pick up the lid and put down the lid. People do that to check on it, but doesn't help the food. If you would know exactly, you know, how long to cook it for, you would never have to pick up the lid. You know, but to stir the pot, that you need to do periodically. Yeah. So, I think that we're probably, we would assume, like, the position of the first opinion is mentioned by the Shri Sashab, is that it's because it's mitzarchi abishom, and that's why it would be, that's why it's remarkable for the kohol. In which case, to stir it off the flame would be allowed. Otherwise, even serving off the flame should be a problem. The Shvisa Shabbos, which is an Ois Chava, which I didn't give to you, it's quoted by the Shabbos Kitchen on page 9, if you want to look it up. So he's Machmer, since we're Machmer at the Kobo, that you're not allowed to stir the pot when it's on the flame, even serve from the pot when it's on the flame. That if you have even fully cooked food that's in an oven and you open the oven, you can't close the oven. Because that's akin to stirring the pot. So again, the heat must be assuming this is part of the food that hasn't been cooked yet. By closing the oven, you're hastening the cooking process. You might cook that kernel that hasn't been cooked already. However, if that's the case, the Shabbos kitchen already argues. Then you can't take food off a flame and put it back. There's no different than closing the oven door. So he said he can't believe that we take this chumrah that far. And if you have food cooked inside of an oven, and you open the oven, you could close the oven again. There's another issue with regards to ovens. There's nothing to do with this, which is when you open the oven, you change the thermostat and trigger the oven to turn on. But since the assumption is, since that doesn't happen right away, and there's that's certainly not your intention, it's a psigration with the grammar, which I think we mentioned already, that's no different than opening your front door in the wintertime. You're going to trigger the thermostat to go on sooner, so do the ovens, unless it turns on right away, which are some ovens and forming drawers that do turn on right away. But if you have one that, for the most part, doesn't turn on right away, so then you can open your oven door, and it wouldn't be a problem of stirring to close the oven door. Because we seem to assume, like, the first reason of the Shisa Shabbos is the reason why Michael Machma for the Kobo, because it's mitzarchi abishol, and therefore, if it's off the flame, to stir would be allowed, and certainly to take pick up the lid or put it back on top of a heat source or close the oven door, that would not be a problem. Okay, Shvetah. We never start.